Here and to share Palm Sunday with you. It's a slightly different service. Those of you who already know me know that I don't tend to do normal services. I like more visual and readings and drama type things rather than standing here preaching at you. But I hope that as you listen to meditations, as you see a video, you will just put yourself in that place, that Palm Sunday, and where would you have been? Would you have been at the back? Would you have been at the front? Would you have been hiding behind a pillar, hoping nobody saw you were there? You know, that's the challenge really today, I think, to think about what happened then and to think, if I'd been there, what would I have done? And that's the challenge that Jesus gives to each one of us. So I'm going to play you a video song. By all means, if you want to sing along with it, do. But I just found the visuals really interesting. I had in my head a picture of Palm Sunday, and for some reason, I think because of the mention of palm trees and that, I imagined this huge open space and Jesus sort of going on the donkey down the middle. And then on this video, you'll see some of it is in really enclosed alleyways, and it looks quite real, and it changed my perception of what it must have been like. So I hope you will enjoy it.
Thank you.
Palm Sunday is one of the enigmas in the Christian calendar. It speaks of joy and celebration and of worshipping Jesus as the King of Kings. And yet, of course, it leads us into the events of Holy Week, the memory of sorrow and suffering, and finally, death on a cross. We cannot think of one without the other. And any talk of the majesty of Jesus must be understood in the light of all that followed. The one we serve came to serve others. The Lord of life endured the darkness of death. The way to the throne involved the costly path of sacrifice. It's easy enough to sing Christ's praises and acknowledge him as Lord. It's a different matter to take up our cross and follow him. Yet that is the homage he asks of us and the challenge this day brings. As we offer today our glad hosannas, let us ask ourselves if we are ready also to offer ourselves in his service. It's going to be a prayer on the screen. If I read the lighter type, will you all respond with the heavy type? And remember again, it's this parade, this celebration, so the words are slightly different to what you might expect a prayer to be. God of the big parade, beat the drum, sound the trumpet, call us to join in and follow your lead. Loud and inviting, full and exciting, life is worth living for all who join in and who follow your lead. God of the big parade, truth is the banner your people march under. Call us to keep the faith and to follow your lead. Marching to glory, telling your story of love never ending for all who keep faith and who follow your lead. Amen. We're going to sing now. We're going to sing Make Way, Make Way, which is 457 for anyone who's using a book this morning. The words will be on the screen.
Make way, make way,
I don't know if the children like a story, but I'm sure lots of grown-ups like a story anyway. Would you like to come and listen to my story? Oh, it's called The Great Parade. Can you see? Look, there's a picture there. Look, can you see? Jesus riding on a donkey. So shall we listen to the story? It says, "Let's go to Jerusalem," said Jesus to his friends. "I have something important to do there." So they went. And when they could just see the city from a nearby hillside, Jesus said, "Let's have a parade." Jesus' friends were surprised. "A parade?" they wondered. "Why a parade?" Friends returned. Jesus hopped on its back, gently nudged its sides, and started down the hill. His friends followed close behind. "Hooray for Jesus!" they shouted. "Jesus is king!" Down, down, down they rode towards the city gate. And the closer they got, the more people joined them. "It's teacher," someone called. "It's Jesus, the healer," called someone else. "Three cheers for Jesus," called one and all. Soon there were people everywhere, marching along with the parade and shouting from the roadside. Some took off their coats and laid them in front of the donkey. Others cut palm trees from the trees and waved them about. There were hundreds, maybe thousands, clapping and dancing and shouting their way through the city gates. Everyone was happy. Well, almost everyone. Some of the religious leaders didn't like Jesus. They were jealous because the ordinary people were so fond of him. And when they saw the parade, they frowned. "Wait just a minute," they called. "You can't have a parade here. Tell your friends to be quiet, Jesus." But Jesus just laughed. "Tell them to be quiet? Impossible." Then he turned to look at the crowd. "Can't you see," he said, "there's so much happiness here that even if I could make the people quiet, the stones in the street would jump up and shout for joy. There we are. Now, I think you two have got a little job to do while we sing the next song, because we're going to sing number 465 in the book, 465, Meekness and Majesty. And while we're all singing, we're going to receive a palm cross from the children.
Meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God, Lord of eternity, is in humility, kneels in humility, and washes our feet. Majesty, sons, yet learns obedience to death on the cross. Suffering to give us life, complete sacrifice, and as they crucify, praise all the
done. Good job there. Wow. And look, now we've got a picture of your palm crosses saying Palm Sunday. So, hopefully we're all going to be able to hold our palm. Has anybody not got one? Just to make absolutely sure. You haven't missed anybody. Well done. Brilliant. So if you'd like to hold your palm cross and look at it, I'm going to read a meditation prayer, which is entitled Palm Sunday, and it's by a lady called Christine O'Dell. God of joyful hope, we celebrate your royal promises as we recollect Christ's triumphal palm-strewn entry into Jerusalem. God of strange and amazing truth, we see your majesty in that joyous interlude before the real and awful business of Holy Week. This paradox of a cross made from a palm leaf makes us wonder if we know what is happening any more than did the crowds in Jerusalem or the executioners at Golgotha. God of forgiveness, we confess that sometimes our acts of worship are more about making ourselves feel good than meeting the all-consuming reality of your love. This Holy Week, help us to focus on the good news of salvation in Christ. We ask you to fill our hearts and minds with its meaning. We want to keep faith with Jesus, to walk with him along the painful path of true love. We want to acknowledge our part in the sin that put him on the cross. We want to feel the pulsating joy of your resurrection victory over evil and death. As we hold our palm crosses, we offer you our praise. You paid the price and prepared the way for us through your eternal love. Amen. Do we bring forward the offering? No. Shall we just say a prayer of thanks then? Father, we thank you that you give us so much. And so these gifts that we have brought today may seem small, but you are the God of miracles, and we know that you can take what we offer. Our money, our time, our talents, and you can use them to spread your gospel of love and hope. And as we bring these gifts, we especially pray for those acts of witness that will take place this week within Kettering Town. And we pray that people's hearts will be touched by the story of your love and your sacrifice for them. So just bless this special week and us as we follow you through it. Amen. We're going to sing again, but don't worry, those of you who are looking in the book, it's number 478, but we're going to sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 7. Not all 7, you'll be relieved to know. My song is Love Unknown.
My song is love unknown, my Saviour's love to me, love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I, but for my sake, my Lord should take the flesh die. He came from his blessed throne, salvation to bestow, but men made strange and known, who longed for Christ to know. But oh, my friend indeed, my need his life did spend. Sometimes they strew his way and his sweet praises sing, resounding all the day, hosannas to the King. Then crucified, they thirst and cry. Hear my voice, stay and sing, no story so divine. Never was grieved a king, never was grieved like thine. This is my friend, sweet praise, I all my days would gladly spend.
So this is going to be like the sermon bit, but it's not going to be a sermon. It's going to be three meditations written by somebody called Nick Fawcett. Some of you may have come across his work. Yeah, some nods. I absolutely love his meditations and his prayers. I found them so helpful. And it's interesting that these three meditations each start off with a short Bible passage which is relevant to the meditation you're going to hear. And the first one is from Psalm 24, just three verses. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. And now Paul is going to share with us a meditation of a zealot.
The Messiah? Not coming? Don't make me laugh. He's coming all right, and it won't be much longer. You take it from me. Any day now, I shouldn't be surprised. How do I know? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? Well, just look around you in the world that we're living in. The state of our society, the corruption, the greed, the self-interest. So much contrary to God's will. Do you really think he's just going to sit back and let that carry on forever? I can't see it somehow. No, he may be taking his time, and the delay may be hard to understand, but sooner rather than later, the day of the Lord will be here. And what a day that will be. What a moment it will be for us all. At last we'll be free, a light rather than a laughing stock to the nations, a sovereign people rather than a subject state. For surely, when he does come, the call to arms won't be far behind. The sound of trumpets summoning us into battle and onwards to victory. That's what God promised, isn't it? A new kingdom. A fresh start, deliverance from slavery, and I can hardly wait for it to begin. Just imagine the scene, if you can. Jesus and Pilate face to face, Roman governor versus the King of the Jews. That should be worth watching. I could almost feel sorry for Pilate if I didn't hate him so much, for he won't know what's hit him. The might of his army powerless against the Lord's hand. What will he do? Oh, no doubt he'll wriggle and squirm a bit and even wash his hands of all responsibility, pretending it was all in the line of duty. But there'll be no escape, no way of avoiding final judgment. For remember, it's God's anointed we are talking about here. The one who will come to establish justice and righteousness, to drive out evil.
So a small passage from Luke. Chapter 19. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, say, the Lord needs it. Ian's going to share a meditation of one of the owners of the colt.
When suddenly these fellows, I've never clapped eyes on before, just like you, most of you, because I've never clapped eyes on you, appeared from nowhere and cool as you like, started to make up with my donkey. In broad daylight too, that's what I couldn't get over, bold as brass, without as much as a by your leave. Well, you can imagine my surprise, can't you? Hardly the kind of goings-on you expect from a small, quiet village like ours, like Rothmans. So I asked them straight, what's your game? And that's when they spoke these special words. The Lord needs it. Not the fullest of explanations, anyway, but it was all I needed. For straightway, it all came flooding back. That day when Jesus came by, and for a wonderful few moments, I met him face to face. No, you won't have heard about it. It wasn't sort of encounter, a hit to hit the headlines. No stunning healings or unforgettable miracles needed in my case, but it touched my life as surely and wonderfully as any, offering a new direction, a fresh start from which I never looked back. Quite simply, it changed my life. And though I'm not the sort to shout it from the rooftops, I wanted to respond nevertheless, to show Jesus how much he meant to me, how much he valued what I'd done. This was it. The chance I'd been waiting for, my opportunity to give something back at least. Hardly earth-shattering stuff, I grant you. The loan of a donkey, but that didn't matter. The fact was that Jesus had need of me. It was all I needed to know. He arrived soon after, and I followed him to Jerusalem, where the crowds were waiting to greet him, wild with excitement, shouting their praises, throwing down their cloaks in welcome. And small though it had been, I knew I had done my bit to make that great day possible. Never forget that, whoever you are, however little you think you have to offer, for some day, some time, your moment will come. A day when your contribution to this kingdom will be requested in those lovely words, the Lord needs it.
And now from Matthew, chapter 21. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." You should have heard them. What a noise! What a sight! What a welcome! I'm telling you, I've never seen the like, not in all my born days, and there's been a few of those. We've had kings here, governors, would-be messiahs, and they've all had their moments, their fans out in force to greet them, but nothing like this, nowhere near it. They came in their thousands, waiting to meet him, the news of his coming having raced before him. And it wasn't just his followers. It was everyone, men, women and children, plucking branches from the trees, tearing off their cloaks, carpeting the road before him, their voices hoarse with shouting. "Hosanna," they cried. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It was treason, of course, and probably heresy too, but no one cared. Devil take the consequences. This was a time for rejoicing, and rejoice we did. Yet, if that was unusual, the abandonment, the jubilation, there were stranger things to follow. For just a few days later, less than a week in fact, the scene was so very different. The same people, by and large, once more part of a crowd, but this time not love, but hatred in their faces. Not welcome, but rejection. They're waving hands, suddenly shaking fists. Their hosanna to the Son of David all at once. "We have no king but Caesar." I wouldn't have believed it possible if I hadn't seen it for myself. But the sad fact is, I not only saw it, in my own way, I was part of the whole sorry business. For when the crisis came, I was found wanting, concerned only to save my skin, with no thought as to his. It was a chilling lesson, and one that I, like so many others, learned the hard way. The lesson that it's easy to call someone king, much harder to actually serve them. Going to sing again, number 580 in the book, 580, "Ride On, Ride On in Majesty."
Triumphs
sky, look down with sad and wandering eyes to see the approaching sacrifice. Ride on, ride on in majesty, your last and fiercest strife is nigh. The Father on his Sabbath throne awaits his own anointed Son. Ride on, ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. Bow your meek head to mortal pain, then take, O God, your power and reign.
And now Ian's going to join me for our prayers of intercession. And there is a response, which, as you can see, is on the screen for you. So one of us will say, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And then if you will all join, "To the glory of God the Father." Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This Holy Week, we pray to you, Son of God, for the choices you made to bring the world hope, for your servanthood and humility, for your words of power and challenge of corruption, for the sacrifice of your life so we can fully live.
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord.
To the glory of God the Father.
In this turbulent and complicated world, we pray to you, Son of God, for the countries in poverty and despair, for the nations in war, conflict and turmoil, for the peoples persecuted and rejected, for you to bring your kingdom of peace.
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In this world damaged by humanity, we pray to you, Son of God, for those who farm the land, facing changes in weather, for countries in drought, flood, and starvation, for people helping and supporting those who have lost their land, for you to bring weather in season and good crops.
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord.
To the glory of God the Father.
In this world of greed and bullying, we pray to you, Son of God, for those facing loss of jobs, businesses, and income, for those who have life-changing decisions to make, for those who have far too much but desire more, for you to bring fairness, morality, and generously into selfish lives.
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In the family of this church and our community, we pray to you, Son of God, for all our local leaders, councillors, and our MP, for all those who work in surgeries, schools, shops, and all places that serve, for all those in need, in sickness, in pain, and in turmoil, for you to bring your healing and light into darkness.
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord.
To the glory of God the Father.
To our own country we pray to you, Son of God, for time to rest, reflect and pause our busyness, for a return to your ways of compassion and kindness, for the people's money to be spent wisely, for you to bring calm, vision and purpose.
And we spend a moment in quiet for you to bring those concerns that are on your heart this morning. Hear our prayers, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And so our final hymn that we're going to sing this morning in the book is 162, 162, The Servant King.
Needs to prepare.
didn't expect to feel like this. These are our roots. Ian and I grew up in a Baptist church. And the only reason we're Methodists is because Rothwell doesn't have a Baptist church. And so coming here and being with you and your beautiful music and singing that hymn together, it's just absolutely got me right there. So thank you for the opportunity to come again and be Baptists again. I know it doesn't matter what title we are, but there are roots there that will never ever go away, and it's been an absolute joy and pleasure to be with you. So let's share the grace together. I have put it on the screen because I'm always aware there might just be one person here who isn't familiar with the words. So let's share it together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.